The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
Did you watch the match yesterday? You watched the golf tournament for charity, featuring Tom Brady and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. I said Tom Brady twice. I meant Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. My big takeaway, Tom Brady's compelling, not just when he's a winner, but when he's a loser. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Almost 6 million people watched. So a lot of us were captivated by a charity golf tournament. Why? What was it about this that struck just the right notes? The Ringer's NFL writer and noted golf fan, Kevin Clark, is on our phone lines. Hey, Kevin, I was reading your column up on The Ringer, and you said there's all kinds of celebrity pro-ams. Brady played with Jordan back in 06, like you said. Nobody remembers that. What was special about this? Why was this different?
Well, I think it was a little more genuine than we've seen. I think that the competition was real. I think that Brady wanted to beat Manning and vice versa. I think that Tiger wanted to beat Phil, obviously, and I think you could see that. I think that, listen, the last time that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady played against each other in a competitive environment, 60 million people watched in the AFC title game after 2015. And so I think people liked seeing that. I think that we missed those guys on our television. We missed sports in general. But also the level of access was so good. I mean, Charles Barkley was a great facilitator. Brian Anderson, Justin Thomas on the course, guys like Brooks Koepka calling in. I just think it was a fun and breezy 5 hours, and I think that as sports returns to normalcy and has to sort of relaunch here without crowds, it was a pretty good guidepost to how to do this without the energy of the crowds.
How do other sports take lessons from that? Like, what does the NBA do? What does maybe even the NFL do that they can take from that match?
I think it's access, and I don't think every athlete's going to be comfortable with the level of access that's going to be needed. But, you know, I think that if you can't get the energy from the crowd, and that is the cue that you should be excited when you're watching at home, if the crowd's getting excited, or you love to see, you know, in England they call it limbs everywhere, just people throwing their hands up and being excited. And I think that without that, you're going to have to mic up the bench, and you're going to have more bench shots. You know, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but when I'm watching the World Series, I love seeing the guys go crazy on the bench after a big home run and high five. And I think you have to take that further. You have to not only mic it up, but mic up first base, mic up the catcher. Just take us inside, because that's the energy. That's the compelling stuff. Without a crowd, Will, I think it get very boring very quickly. I think if it's just the same sort of jargon we hear now, where the coach is mic'd up for 10 seconds in the huddle, and it's Steve Clifford saying, hey, we got to bring more energy to defense, I'm not totally sure that's going to hook the casual viewer. But if I see the excitement and I see guys on the bench who are yelling, or if James Harden tries to draw a foul and the five guys in the court who are going against him freak out on him, that's what's compelling. I think that they have to push the envelope as far as access goes and get that energy going.
I totally agree. If we're not going to get spectacle, I think what we can get is intimacy. Now, you also said casual fan, because I know this about you, and I'm a soccer fan, and I don't normally watch the Bundesliga, but I am right now because it's the only one that's on. And I'm watching it without intimacy and without the crowd. But I'm not the casual fan. I actually like that sport, and I pay pretty good attention to it. A casual fan's, I think, going to have one or the other. It's going to have the spectacle or the intimacy. And what we had yesterday, I totally agree with you, is we got drawn in. And in that way, Brady was the key for all of it. I mean, the trash talk and Phil Mickelson and Peyton Phil and Peyton were funny and important. But ultimately, the reason that I watched for 5 hours, I think the whole is because of Brady's potential humiliation, right? I mean, it's just the vulnerability that he gave
Look,
people have nightmares about a couple of things. They have nightmares about being naked in a crowd, somehow waking up that way, right? And I don't even play much golf, but I am terrified of hitting a terrible shot in front of five dudes, much less millions. And here we're watching the greatest quarterback of all time melt down essentially in front of everybody.
I played golf last week in California, and I was with my wife. No one was within three holes of us. It was Friday, and when I hit a bad shot – The only person on the planet who could see was my wife. I was still horrendously embarrassed, okay? Now, imagine you're Tom Brady. You have the entire world watching. You have Peyton Manning watching, and you competed against him for 20 years. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are waiting for you to have a good shot. Charles Barkley's making fun of you. Brooks Koepka, the best golfer in the world, is making fun of you. That was compelling television. That was vulnerability, exactly what you said, and that's good. Like, we need more of that. If someone has 7 missed shots in a row in a big spot in the Eastern Conference Finals in late July in Orlando, I want to hear what this guy is saying to his teammates. I want to hear what his teammates are saying to him. That's vulnerability that we like. That's humanity. And that's the human interest part of it. I mean, listen, why does everybody sit around watching the Olympics? It's because we learn who these guys are very quickly, or those athletes very quickly. You hear that, yeah, the NBC catches you up on here's how they got here, all that stuff. You can do that with everybody in the NBA or the NHL or baseball or whatever it is, really quickly by saying this guy said this to his teammate after he missed this shot or hit this shot. I mean, the human element can be so, so important over the next couple of months because we're not going to get those cues from the audience and stuff like that.
You know what the risk is, though, Kevin. The risk is that Woods and Mickelson and Brady and Manning are very polished celebrities. Polished. And even at that, Brady's, you can suck on that, Charles, probably was close to the dump button. Close for some executive. I can only imagine what these other sports like football or basketball.
Sure.
That intimacy is going to be a little X-rated for too many people.
So, I agree with you. The storytelling part of it is so important and can be so important. Having said that, I remember talking to someone who's heard unfettered, unedited stuff on the field, both in football and in hockey. And they said that there are times where if that stuff got out, it would not be good for anybody. And I think that the athletes have to understand that in the same way that, listen, I bet you Brady wasn't saying the things he can say when he's struggling on a football field because he knew he was mic'd up and Charles Barkley was in his ear. So I think there's going to be some self-censorship. I think, by the way, if it's an empty arena and no one's there and no one's tweeting about it and there's no media, why can't they have a 90-second delay instead of a 7-second delay and just have another layer?
And then it just goes silent. The truth is I don't speak German. Otherwise, I'd probably know if that's already happened in the Bundesliga. It may be happening right now. I don't know.
That's my problem. When I hear them bark instructions, I'm always like, all right, maybe that's interesting, but I'll speak German. UFC was a bit like that. I loved what John Anik and Daniel Cormier and Joe Rogan did with their energy, but I also loved hearing the corner men yell instructions. I thought that was fascinating, too. There's a lot of possibilities that the networks can do to make these really cool events.
And then, of course, I mean, and then Brady hits the shot on Barkley. I mean, on Barkley, I guess. But, you know, that Tim Hasselbeck was on my show earlier. He said, that's what we're going to remember. I mean, it's not going to be his split pants. Yeah. It's not going to be his bad golf. We're going to remember that one shot and don't make Tom Brady mad. That's going to be it.
Yeah. I mean, to see the competitive streak in him. I mean, listen, there's a lot of really great golfers who are better than Tom Brady who could not hit that shot for their life. He did it with everybody making fun of him, with Brooks Koepka saying, I'll give money if you just get a par. I mean, that is Tom Brady. I mean, honestly, I don't want to overstate this. When I'm thinking about Tom Brady's career, I'll think about maybe 10 NFL games before I think about anything else. But I'm going to think about that shot pretty early when I'm thinking about Tom Brady and his competitiveness. That was unbelievable.
It was. I think you're right as well. All right. The Ringer's NFL writer, Kevin Clark, here on the Will Cain Show. I agree, man. It was a lot of fun. It was intimate. And other leagues should use it as a model. All right, man. Thanks for jumping on today.
Anytime. Thanks, Will.
Okay. What's the best spy movie of the weekend? Who nominated that? Was it Bubba? No. I mean, theoretically, it's possible he could get last and first in the same weekend. Was it Nuno? Was it Mike A? Was it Pat? Or was it me? That's coming up. Plus, I rank my top quarterbacks in the NFC North. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Who are the top quarterbacks in the NFC North? I rank them 1-4 coming up here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. You just heard me talking to Kevin Clark of The Ringer about the match, the golf tournament this past weekend, featuring Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. The moment of the entire match was not Woods and Manning winning. It was rather Brady suffering and then hitting an incredible shot right in the face of Charles Barkley. We have sound from that event. The lead up is this. Brady was playing terrible. He's being mocked by the entire world. Twitter was going bananas. Celebrities making fun of Tom Brady. And people on the course had stopped. Because it got to that moment, you know, when you're busting each other's chops and then it starts to feel a little negative and you can tell that not everybody's laughing anymore and then you can see that your friend is legit angry. Everybody felt that moment coming and stopped talking to Tom Brady. Except for Charles Barkley, who continued to lean in and offered first Brady $50,000 if he could put a shot onto the green. That didn't happen. And then Barkley got into Brady's ear and said, Tom, I want a piece of you. I'll even give you strokes. How many strokes do you need? Because I want to play golf against you. Brady didn't really respond. At least, not verbally at first. Instead, he hit one of the most incredible shots. Well, the most incredible shot of the entire tournament. Here it is. Listen to this.
Got number turn on. Don't worry. It ain't over yet.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no. I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go in! Yeah. Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow! Oh.
Take a second.
Are you kidding me? Wow!
Hey, hey, yeah. hey,
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got that off too.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
Take a suck on that, Chuck. Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take your medicine, Chuck. It was an incredible shot. And I got to tell you, I was watching it with my wife and sons, and we all got up out of our chairs and went bananas when Tom Brady hit that shot. Just an incredible moment in what was a really fun sporting event, one of the most fun we've had in quite some time. Coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Will Cain Show, we vote on what was the best spy movie of the weekend. You probably know by now, I've been doing some long-form podcast interviews. They've been really well received. I've done some with Marcus Spears, David Shaw. I have some others coming up with more college football coaches. But Mike A was saying, we need more like your original long form interview as well. We got to get some guys in who come from a different world, a mysterious world, world where you can really dig in, Will, and help us understand. My first podcast long form interview we did in this entire series over the last 2 months was with a former bank robber. So we were saying, well, what should we lean into then? Of course, that was tied to our heist movies. So maybe we should lean into interviewing a former spy. I don't know. Help us out. 888-729-3776. Who would you like to hear me interview beyond just your normal sports celebrities? Give us a call here on the Will Cain Show. Who are your top quarterbacks in the NFC North? The FPI came out with their predictions today. They have a couple of surprises that we've talked about throughout the day, like the Dallas Cowboys with the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl. They also have the Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs in the NFC. They have the Packers at just over 8 wins and ranked 15th in the NFL. I gave you my predictions for the NFC North a little bit earlier. I believe the Packers will come in second behind the Minnesota Vikings. But quarterbacks in the NFC North don't necessarily fall in the same order as the teams, at least the way I see it. Here are your top 5 quarterbacks in the NFC North, at least your top 5 starting quarterbacks, and we're going to use starting like Dr. Evil does with quotation marks. At number 5, it is Mitchell Trubisky. In almost any ranking this past season, he was 28th, roughly, in the league. QBR, passer rating, whatever metric you want to use, average net yards per attempt, Mitchell Trubisky was about 28th in the league. He wasn't good. And that's why Nick Foles is now there. Nick Foles comes in ranked number 4 in the NFC North. Look, Foles, when he was with Doug Peterson, when he was in that familiar, comfortable environment in Philadelphia, was very good. He may have even been the better quarterback for that moment in time for the Philadelphia Eagles. But that didn't necessarily translate to who Nick Foles has been when he's been outside of Philadelphia. Last year, with Jacksonville, he wasn't very good. And he lost his job, first to injury, but then to promise to Gardner Minshew. Nick Foles with the Chicago Bears, I expect to be an improvement over Mitchell Trubisky, but it doesn't vault him over 4th in the NFC North. At number 3, it's Kirk Cousins. I know. Cousins was good, every statistical metric. He led his team to big victories. It's all true. Cousins had a passer rating that ranked ahead of Aaron Rodgers. He had a QBR ranked ahead of Aaron Rodgers. He had average net yards per attempt ahead of Aaron Rodgers. And yet, Kirk Cousins, I rank behind Aaron Rodgers. Cousins is 3rd because he plays in a very friendly offense, and maybe that doesn't matter. It's going to be just do what's asked of you. But if you're asking me who I want, which of these quarterbacks to center my team around, which is the best quarterback, Cousins can only come in 3rd. Because even with his regression, I take Aaron Rodgers 2nd in the NFC North. And make no mistake, he did have a regression in 2019. All these statistical metrics, Rodgers was behind Kirk Cousins in every single one of them. This was a down year for him. But as Tim Hasselbeck pointed out a little bit earlier on the Will Cain Show, he only threw 4 interceptions, and he's never thrown many interceptions, much less was asked of him by Matt LaFleur as they ran the ball more, as that team tried to be more well-balanced, which was a better recipe for the Packers winning than Aaron Rodgers lighting it up. In fact, that whole recipe led to the Packers being 13-3 last year. I think that's the formula for Rodgers going forward. Keep him playing between the lines, outside of the ditches, headed down the road towards victory. But we have to acknowledge he wasn't as accurate, he wasn't as good as he's been in the past, and he wasn't as good as the number one quarterback in this division last year. And what I think will be the number one quarterback in this division this coming year. That's the Detroit Lions, Matt Stafford. Stafford was having a career year before he got hurt. Stafford was above both Cousins and Rodgers in almost every statistical metric. He was a top 5 quarterback, honestly. Passer rating, QBR, again, net yards per attempt. Stafford was really good. Earlier, I predicted the Lions still come in 4th in the NFC North. My great hesitation is, what if Stafford comes back and hits that same stride, and Matt Patricia can make the rest of that team just a little bit better? Stafford can carry that team, not to the top of the division, but much more competitive. Matt Stafford, I think, is always an underrated quarterback in the NFL. It's one of the few points of agreement that Dan Orlovsky and I have here at ESPN. And I think right now, for this coming season, at this point in their careers, Matt Stafford is the best quarterback in the NFC North. Who nominated the best spy movie this past weekend? Bubba nominated MacGruber, and got last earlier. Nuno nominated Breach. He'd never even seen it. Sort of like going blind Nello in Spades. Pat nominated Austin Powers. Mike A. nominated Red Sparrow. Don't watch it around the kids. And I nominated Argo. Who gets first place? That's next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Did you know that you can listen to The Will Cain Show on your smart speaker? Just tell it to play ESPN Radio.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Because you have a monopoly on the truth.
Thank you.
Don't worry. More from Will Cain coming up.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
James in Nevada, you're on The Will Cain Show.
Okay, now,
My thing about it is, you are just like Howard Cosell.
How's that?
Everybody want to hear you and watch you, but can't nobody stand
you. Can't stand me?
Can't stand you. Why but can't... everybody want to watch you, just like Howard Cosell.
That comes out of bitterness, envy, and absence of co-equal success.
This is Will Cain.
Let's settle who drafted the best spy movie in our weekend homework. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. I asked you, we've been doing these long-form interviews. Maybe they don't all need to be sports stars or sports coaches. I've been hitting a lot of college football coaches, which is a group of people that I'm interested in. But old Mike A was saying, you need to do more like, you know, they did that bank robber. So I'm asking you, who else should we interview? Tony in New York has a good suggestion. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Will. Love the show.
Thank you.
So my idea for an interview is Bear Grylls. Couple things. You know, he has traveled all around the world, so he's got some interesting things I'm sure to talk about. Plus, he's taken celebrities on these adventures where I think he can, you may be able to pull some interesting things out of him with people that we know, like
yeah.
celebrities.
So yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
That's a cool interview.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I'd love to get Bear Grylls. Nuno, get on it. I think that would be great. By the way, all of the Will Cain Show Twitter long-form interviews are up on our Will Cain Show Twitter feed. I'll retweet it here right after the show. You'll be able to get, I think, almost all of them. I don't think David Shaw was on there. But there's a link to, I don't know, 6-7 different big long-form conversations. They're good stuff. You'll enjoy them. Okay, spy movies. I nominate Argo, Bubba MacGruber, Mike A. Red Sparrow. Pat nominated Austin Powers, the second one. And Nuno... Sight Unseen nominated Breach.
Hey, can I interrupt you before we get into
this?
If
this is about the other thing, save it for the last segment.
Okay, we'll save it for the last thing.
Is that why you're interrupting me?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, we'll save it for the last segment. You're good.
Okay, all right, thank you. Yeah, we're going to air some dirty laundry here in about 10 minutes. Apparently, I was done dirty by two people on this show. So,
sad.
We'll see. Sad, real sad. Wasn't you, Bubba. You, Nuno.
Clearly wouldn't be.
That's right. Bubba's my ride or die. Fact boy. We got to figure out who nominated the best movie. I hate to make this awkward turn now, but Bubba nominated the worst spy movie, and MacGruber as nominated and voted upon earlier by everyone on staff and
ride or die.
You
voted him last.
I mean, it was a MacGruber thing. It wasn't a Bubba thing. Who nominated the best movie? Okay, I think. I'm going to go me first on this, okay? This one should be unanimous. And if it's not, then I'm surrounded by people who have horrendous taste and or it's a conspiracy. Argo was far and away the best spy movie of the five assigned over the weekend's homework. It's not even close. I don't think it's a debate. Argo is number one. Mike A?
A lot of silence there. So, I mean, for me, I thoroughly enjoy Red Sparrow. I think it's a fantastic spy movie.
Okay.
Don't know which turn is going to go where, but Argo is the best one of the weekend.
Mike, when you rewatched Red Sparrow, were you nervous? Did you see the flaws and you're like, they're not going to go well for me?
I knew I had MacGruber and Austin Powers in my back pocket.
You
so
did
I was
feel
okay,
like there was a,
but
there
I will
was a
tell
safety
you,
net.
If they had picked better, I would have been a little more nervous.
If you had come in this weekend and Red Sparrow would have gotten last, would you have been very upset with this?
Yes, I would have. Joe Dirt and then MacGruber and Austin Powers. No, I wouldn't have been okay with that.
I considered voting it last. Okay, that's two votes for Argo. I think I'm going to go to the wild card in this. I'm going to go Bubba. Bubba, what was number one?
Good spot here. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed Argo. Red Sparrow was clearly number three. It came down to Argo and Breach to me. Went back and forth on it. Really enjoyed both of them. Never had seen Breach before. I had seen Argo before, but I'm going to go against the grain and I'm going to go Breach. I'm going to tell you
get
why.
Get out of here. You're just trying to cause drama.
No, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why.
The historical accuracy of Argo is the reason I brought it down multiple pegs.
Because
the airport stuff completely made up. They were not in any danger. Canadians had a far more.
I know Ben Affleck wasn't even there.
So much of it was just made up that
God forbid that they tell a story.
And whereas,
it had a political slant too.
Whereas the Breach was, there were some things made up on that, was far more accurate. And yeah, giving Breach a slight edge.
All right. I think it's
the Breach was so boring. But
Pat,
but no,
Pat, hold it, hold it, hold your. Hold
I didn't think it was that boring. I didn't find it to be boring at all. I was intrigued. I thought Cooper was great. I thought he was.
All right,
was,
let's go. Let's go to Nuno now. It was great. All right, let's see what Nuno does here. It's 2-1. Nuno, your movie is in the running. You never even saw Breach. Do
and
you know.
Remember, pick the best movie you saw.
Integrity, Nuno.
Integrity, which you guys accuse me and of having none a lot of the times when it comes to this voting.
Do it.
I will say that those would be the number one and two. I think Red Sparrow went on a little too long, and the twists and turns.
That's fine. Do
you
it.
Know,
Nuno.
Just a little too much. However, to show you guys the integrity, I think Argo was the best movie.
Don't do it for us. Did you really like Argo better than
Breach? No, I did. Best one.
No, huh? I did.
He knows he's not going to win, so now he can point to this week every other time he
picks exactly
his movie.
That's exactly
right, go,
Mike.
Look, I picked
he knows
Argo.
Pat's not voting for Breach, so he's chalking up one to integrity right here. He figured it was a cost-free integrity.
No,
vote.
There was a part where Breach was a little bit too slow.
Yeah, those are the accurate parts.
So it just but listen, I'm all about integrity. I'm going to take Argo, and yes, I knew Pat wasn't
going to vote
for
me. I wish
Argo
was about integrity.
I think Nuno. I think integrity.
Hold on, Nuno. I have a question for you. If if I'd have gone Pat fourth, and Pat would have voted Breach, which we know he's not going to, Pat would have voted Breach the best movie. Would you have voted for yourself to give yourself the win?
I would not, because it's because I circumvented the rules of the game, and I feel slightly bad. But so I would have done the honorable thing and voted Argo.
All right. It sounds like I've already chalked it up, Pat. What was your vote anyway?
Yeah, congrats. Can I just say the only single one of these movies that I'll probably ever watch again in my whole life is Austin Powers 2, but I guess Argo is the best one, so I guess I have to go with that.
Is that a real vote? You are voting Argo number one, too?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have to. Like,
I'm
not going to pick Austin Powers.
You didn't
Powers
even watch 2. Austin Powers.
Because I've seen it about 100 times, and I will probably see it 100 more times.
I
so
win.
Congrats, Argo wins. Great.
Thank you. What am I up to? 3 wins?
That would be your
What's
third
the current
win?
Scoreboard?
That would be so me and you were tied for best at 3 apiece. Bubba just behind us with 2. Nuno with 1. Pat has never finished higher than 3rd, I believe. So.
Yeah, but what's the aggregate, so? Because, Mike,
aggregate.
You have
so
–
Will
you're at
is,
0. So
Will's
at what, plus 2?
Plus 2.
I am
you're
plus
1. Me and Bubba at 0. And Pat is at -2.
We can watch movies about Texas next week or something.
That's right.
Oh, interesting category.
Boils of War, I won,
great.
So I picked the category.
Cowboy movies, great.
Maybe we'll do like Westerns. Documentaries on the best cowboy seasons or something like that. Oh, I don't know. I'll have to think about
Randy Gregory documentaries?
It's a good one, Bubba. Do you think there's 5 we can pick from?
I mean, if we start shooting now, we can make them
movies
ourselves.
About cowboys in the big city.
Documentaries about Cowboys Super Bowls in the last 20 years. Ooh.
What was that movie with Cowboys in the Big City with Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland? I like that one back in the day.
Cowboy Way.
That was a good one. I think you just
Don't
stumbled upon the category,
movies.
Mike. There we go. Coming up, Michael Jordan admits, well, he didn't admit, but some audio came out. He did keep Isaiah off that dream team. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This shows Will Cain being escorted to his seat. When he walked out, it was the loudest booze I had ever heard. He loved it, and he turned to who was escorting him. Did you get that for social?
Don't worry. More Will Cain is coming up.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
This is Will Cain.
I am a big fan of your show.
You make my head want to explode like four times an hour. You have bowling balls, okay? What I want you to understand is there any point in time that you might back down a little bit and give up a little bit of your whiteness?
Man, I tell you, people lie. It becomes so easy. And I have to say, most of the time, none of us even care. Michael Jordan might have just lied in The Last Dance. Turns out, he did try to keep Isaiah Thomas off of the 1992 NBA, or rather Olympic, Dream Team. That's coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. But Jason in Alaska wants to jump on. He has some a problem with the way the voting went down on the spy movies. What's wrong, Jason?
Well, first of all, you took the wrong call. The guy that voted for Austin Powers is completely wrong. That movie, as much as I love it, it doesn't hold up in the from the 90s anymore.
Preach.
And
yep.
MacGruber's not that great either, but out of those two movies, MacGruber's power move to get people distracted, I guarantee you if anybody did that in real life, would be rolling and I don't want to say what it is because I don't know what the rules on the radio are, but I know you guys know what I'm talking about.
He lost. You lost, Jason. MacGruber lost. Bubba lost. That's the way,
right,
the way
but
it works.
Here, I got something else to say. I got to give a shout out to Pat.
All right.
I know
whoa. All right. Listen,
hang on. I know you guys beat up on Pat a lot, and it's fun, but I'm a regular listener because I'm an essential worker, and I have you guys on the radio all the time. Pat, absolutely Hall of Fame, no doubt about it, nailed the Entourage draft choice this weekend on Best Week Ever. And I got to say, he's got one up on everybody going forward.
Good job.
I don't know.
So
one listener. Okay, all right. So I don't know anything about this, Jason, except I know Nuno said, Will, you're going to be mad when you hear this. They all drafted and Pat was involved. Tell me what the story is really quickly on this Entourage thing.
So basically, it was an athlete, a musician, an ESPN person, and a couple other. The reason why Pat nailed it, one, he picked the dog that can play basketball and fetch you a beer. Two, he finally made Dwayne Johnson relevant for a pick because I tell you what,
yes,
the people's elbow, yes, and the people's eyebrow will mess you up.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. All right. Pat, what'd you guys do? You guys drafted an Entourage, an actor, an athlete, what, a musician, ESPN personality?
And a fictional character.
Yes.
And you were in on this too, Mike.
It's my show.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, what's wrong, Nuno?
I think we are right now. Thanks.
So let's start off with our boy Peter Burns. Friend of the show. We have him on a lot. We enjoy his conversation. His ESPN personality, Mike Golic Jr. It is what it is.
Okay.
Listen.
I am not about to defend Peter's pick there, but I will tell you this. It was a poor attempt knowing that Mike Golic Jr. was going to be our judge for who had the best. He thought he would play to Mike Golic Jr.'s ego.
What are you guys drafting? Your entourages, and you have to pick one person from each of these categories?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, and of course Pat picked the Rock. He finally got his Rock pick in.
Yes, because I want to hang out with the guy that does nothing but work out and eat broccoli.
And just Pat, came out with a great tequila, but that's fine.
And Pat,
we'll
who was your ESPN
we'll
personality?
We'll say Pat the last, though. We'll say Pat last. So then Mike I don't know where he picked and when he picked him, but he picked Marty Smith. I can understand people are going to, everyone loves Marty, whatever. Mike, explain that.
You just did. Everybody wants to hang out with Marty. Who doesn't want to hang out with Marty?
He's literally
Will,
in the Marty
Will,
party.
Come on. Would you pick Marty Smith to hang out with as somebody at ESPN?
Over me?
Yes, over you.
Yes, over you.
I think that's what we're getting at here, Nuno.
Yes,
none
I
of them picked
upset.
Me.
Yes, I think he's upset. Yes.
For their entourage.
Pat
and I'm hoping that you have enough integrity as I've complimented you in the past.
Have that integrity. I am a great hang. I don't know what you're talking about, Mike, but you'll never know now.
Listen, I'll tell you right now what it would be like hanging with you. It'd be a whole lot of, I'm not going to say anything.
What do you mean?
Oh, you play everything so close to the vest.
Oh, you think I won't trash talk other people enough?
And then some.
I picked Stu Gatz.
by the way.
Yeah, yes. Pat picked
Stugatz. Let's talk about that. At least I have an excuse.
I do too. Mike Golic Jr. was picking in their best friends. It was a genius selection that pushed it over the edge.
I didn't know that. They're best friends, Stugatz and Golic Jr.?
Best friends, I think that's probably...
I mean, yeah, that seems like a bit of a stretch.
They're workplace. Yeah, like, associates. I think Mike probably really... Junior probably like really likes him, and Stugatz probably likes him. But we all... I love Stugatz, but Stugatz, whoever he feels like is going to advance him to his next stage of his career, like, that's what he's rocking
with. As I said
realistically,
to Pat,
Will, you're too controversial.
To be in your entourage?
Yep, you're too controversial.
To win the vote on the draft?
Yeah, exactly. Or to be in my entourage.
Who was the jury again, really quickly?
Mike Golic Jr. was the jury.
Okay. So you're afraid, Pat, you draft me in your entourage, and Air Bud's going to think I'm too controversial.
Exactly.
Pat took
and then
Air
Mike Golic Jr.
Stugatz
wouldn't have voted for me.
And let's be
honest,
The
Rock's going to go, this Will guy's got too many opinions. But then, meanwhile, Mike's like, yeah, but he doesn't share his opinions. So I'm in a no-win situation. I got too many opinions because I'm too controversial, but I play things too close to the vest, says Mike.
I'll be real with you. You were my second pick. I just happened to get my number one.
You weren't even on my big board, by the way. You weren't even. I wasn't even thinking.
If you don't get Stugatz, who's next?
I was going to take Michael Collins, but Mikey C stole that from me.
You know, I really defend Pat a lot on this show. Like, among everybody on this show, I think I'm the nicest to you. I'm the nicest. I think that's fair. Mike does not like you. Bubba, has it out for you.
I don't like you. Bubba hates you.
I'm the nicest, and I'm done doing that now. Now, get ready for hell. Get ready for hell. Okay, that's great. I wasn't drafted. Thanks a lot, guys. Let's move on.
Pat's just glad he got his rock off.
Michael Jordan said what?
Yeah. I'm forgetting the name of the podcast. What was it? Jack McCallum's podcast, Dream Team Tapes, something like that. I'm sorry, Jack, I didn't get it exactly straight. Has recording of Michael Jordan from some time ago. Audio of Michael Jordan admitting that he told Rod Thorne, who was in charge of the 1992 Olympic Dream Team, you can't have Isaiah Thomas on that team. You can hear it in Michael Jordan's words saying, yes, I said, I'm not on it if Isaiah Thomas is on it. It's a complete contradiction to exactly what we heard in The Last Dance. Now, what we can mythologize Michael Jordan, we can say he's the greatest of all time, all of that is true. But we also got to be able to say, that was a flat-out lie then. In The Last Dance. Just look straight at all of us in the eye and tell us a lie. You could also say it was the right decision. Other people, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, didn't like Isaiah Thomas. That's all fine. You can have that debate on its own merits. But the truth of the matter is, Michael Jordan admitted he blocked Isaiah Thomas from being on the Dream Team. Don't tell us later that you didn't. I don't know, man. I'm just sort of into not being lied to. But that's why I'm not nobody's entourage.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.